on the Davidson Sports Network. The Bob McKillop Show is on the air, powered by Ortho Carolina. The Bob McKillop Show is brought to you by Bearings, Innovative Strategies and Solutions, Pepsi, born in the Carolinas, Atrium Health, make every day the best day yet, and by Ortho Carolina, you improved. Now, here's the voice of Davidson basketball, Jared Letch, joining head coach Bob McKillop.
Welcome inside the Vance Athletic Center on the campus of Davidson College. This is the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina, alongside head coach Bob McKillop. I'm Jared Letch. Thanks for joining us as we get set to hit a variety of topics over the next 30 minutes, and we begin with a roller coaster of two Atlantic 10 games for the Cats this past week. Starting with Tuesday at Hagen Arena in Philadelphia, where the Wildcats suffered a heartbreaking 73-72 loss to St. Joe's. And early on, Coach, things were working extremely well. You got off to a 19-2 lead. What was working to get you out to that significant advantage?
You know, we had continued our momentum from the Fordham and St. Bonaventure games of the previous week. And offensively, we moved, we cut, we made shots. And I thought we really were becoming very mature and consistent with having accomplished some success and now having to deal with adversity on the road. And St. Joe's is always a tough place for us to play. And the fact that Ryan Daly was not in the lineup, it sort of takes a little bit of an edge away from the opposing team because they maybe let their guard down a little bit. So the way we started indicated to me that we weren't going to let that let our guard down and we were going to be ready to play right away.
When there's a significant shift in momentum like occurred in that second half, what's happening behind the scenes with you and the assistant coaches really trying to get the ship moving back the other way?
You know, it's interesting that the lead at halftime could have been larger. We made some mistakes that at that point in the game didn't seem so monumental. For example, one of their players has a hitch in his foul shot, which delays his shot, and we rehearsed that. We walked through it in the simulation and the shoot around. We showed it on film. And sure enough, when he took that foul shot, he did have the hitch, and we violated the line. And he got another chance for a foul shot and made the second one. So there's one point that you just not, at that point with a big lead, you're not concerned about. And then there was a second time in which a side out of bounds play, which we had been beaten in a similar situation at St. Bonaventure the previous Friday. So we had been very alert to it, and we got beat on a back screen for two more points. So those are just very small plays in the scope of a very, very good first half, but they eventually bit us very hard in the second half. So as the second half started, they came out, and we were a little bit relaxed and thinking we had the lead and it was going to be a good night for us. And they just made 1-3 after another, and from distance, and give them credit. They made shots. They made tough shots. And all of a sudden, we were back on our heels. You know, we were, instead of being the aggressor, we were in the boxing ring and knocked, not just to the mat, but knocked against the ropes. And then we started to fight from the ropes and started to fight from being on our back. And you don't have that same confidence that you had in the first half.
Now, the last two series of the game before we move on to Saturday, Luka Brajkovic, an opportunity with that layup, with more time than you'd want, but without knowing the outcome of the game, is that something you take every time because of the opportunity that presented itself?
Yeah, boy, that's a puzzle, huh? And you reflect back upon it, and we had said clearly we wanted that last shot, and we had a play designed, but when they double-teamed John, and John made a great pass to Luka, Luka made a great read, Luka made a great delivery to the rim and scored, I don't think you can pass that up at that particular time, and it did give us a two-point lead. And then, of course, that final possession, Nelson Bochy-Adam was switched into the game on 21 instead of having Luka in the game. So we thought we were matched up against the four guards and the shooting big man. Nelson did block it. And unfortunately, 21 recovered. Edwards recovered it very quickly and got rid of the ball. And Brown made the shot from the exact spot where he made his first shot in the second half. that was a dagger that really sent us into a very difficult locker room after the game.
Moving ahead to Saturday, we had to turn the page extremely quickly and concluding in front of a sold-out Belk Arena crowd, impressive 77-75 overtime win against Rhode Island, the second-place team in the Atlantic 10. And first and foremost, looking at the days in between Saturday and the lead-up, or Tuesday to Saturday, how did you work on some things and get the guys ready? And you had mentioned in postgame an exercise you had them do on campus.
Yeah, we came back. I guess we got back about 12:30 on Wednesday morning. And with the quick turnaround, we gave them off Wednesday. We didn't do anything at all. We came in on Thursday, and we showed the film, and we tried to be upbeat with the film. And we discussed how close we have been. And we talked about, for example, in Duquesne with 2.5 minutes to go, it's a tie ball game, and we have a breakaway layup, which we missed. I think in our Rhode Island loss with 50 seconds to go up in Rhode Island, we were down 4 with 50 seconds to go, and at both of those games without Lee on a lineup because he had been had the concussion. So we discussed how close we had been, and tried to convince them that it's just a possession here and a possession there. And then we gave them all tennis balls, and we told them we wanted them carrying them wherever they are on campus, meals, classroom, dormitories, and come to the locker room every practice and every game and bring those tennis balls with you. And as you carry that tennis ball, we want you bouncing it and constantly saying to yourself, bouncing back, bouncing back, bouncing back. So we repeated that as a sort of a mantra for us for that next 48 hours. We're bouncing back. We're bouncing back. We're bouncing back. And I heard stories about our players walking across campus, bouncing a ball, and they see another teammate, and they bounce the ball to them, and the other teammate bounces it back to them. And, you know, so it became sort of a symbol for us that, okay, we're close. We're on this journey in March to get to March, be our best, and we're going to bounce back. And sure enough, we had a lot of chances to bounce back on Saturday.
You had mentioned Nelson Bochy-Eaton because of the previous game, but he got his second consecutive start on Saturday. Is he a guy right now where you are seeing comfort and improvement on almost a game-to-game basis because he's getting the game action?
Yeah, the experience factor has been a big part of his development. And as I've said many times, I think Will Riegel, Kevin Kuick, Matt McKillop, Brian Sullivan have done a magnificent job of working with him individually to get him confident but to get him skilled. And what was particularly gratifying for us was that his mom, Monica, was here for the first time since his recruiting visit 2 years ago and got to see him play as a starter and got to see him perform so well.
And Coach, another where we've seen a lot of growth is Bates Jones. You talked in the preseason about Daniel Jones, his brother, the quarterback for the New York Giants, and what impact that's had on his demeanor and confidence. Is that something that just has continued to come to fruition?
Yeah, and Daniel's his hero. And to see what Daniel has achieved in his career at Duke and now as a member of the Giants in the NFL as a quarterback for the Giants taking over for Eli Manning, it's given a hop in his step to Bates. It's given him a boost in his confidence. And I'm certain Daniel speaks with him a lot and gives him confidence as well. And, of course, such a pivotal part of the game the other night was the offensive rebounds that Bates was able to get, one in the first half that led to a three-pointer by John, and then two in the second half on the offensive miss of a foul shot, and yet he got fouled and had the wherewithal to make both foul shots that were pivotal in the game.
Kellen Grady was also an early catalyst in the game. It looked like he had a little more bounce, a little more fire, and he usually has that fire. What was it about his early game that set the pace?
Well, he made shots. It's amazing what making shots does to your confidence, and it carries forward in the defensive end, and I thought he was superb defensively. And, you know, after each game, we give a Vito Award. Vito Antuofermo was a famous boxer in Philadelphia, and he was famous only because he won this one bout, and he was not a very good boxer, but could absorb blows and take hits and take punches, and we give the award to somebody who fights from start to finish, and Kellen got that award today.
Another big positive, Coach, against a physical team was you ended up plus 10 on the boards.
Very, very impressive because I think the front court of Rhode Island is one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the country. Saria Langevine, Harris, Martin, they are just relentless. And I thought the number of opportunities that we had to box them out or to secure a rebound or get that 50-50 ball really showed the will to win and the fight to win that we had.
That brings us to our first break. When we come back, we'll dive into more topics, answer a few fan questions. This is the Bob McKillop Show, presented by Ortho Carolina from Learfield IMG College. Welcome back to the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. Jared Latch, Bob McKillop back with you. And it was a special weekend here on campus at Davidson as five new members were inducted into the Davidson Athletics Hall of Fame, two of which directly associated with men's basketball, and Mike Malloy and John Killer Kilgo. Coach, how special was this weekend overall?
You know, it started on Friday night when Mike Malloy's teammates, classmates, held a very small gathering dinner over in a little gallery, and to hear the stories and to reminisce and to understand what Mike Malloy represented and what those guys that were classmates and teammates of his represented in terms of a very volatile time period in America when the Sigma Chi fraternity actually invited Mike to be a member and actually were removed from the national fraternity roles because they admitted a black guy to the fraternity. And the courage of those guys, the courage of Mike even to come here to Davidson College as just one of two black guys on a whole student body, and the pride that those guys feel and the joy and love that they had for Mike was really a terrific statement.
And Coach Jim Fox, Matt Matheny were here in attendance as well to honor their friend John Kilgo. As Peyton Gallagher noticed, they were still coaching in the stands. How hard is it to, or probably impossible, can you ever take the coach out of you?
Well, delighted that Matt and Jim were here, and a great honor and so very well deserved for John Kilgo to be given a membership in our Hall of Fame because he is a Hall of Famer in everything he's done. And I don't know that if he's in the Carolina Hall of Fame, but he should certainly be in that Hall of Fame as well. And tell me whenever there's somebody that could be in the Carolina and Davidson Hall of Fame. It's kind of a strange combination, but John was sensational. And as far as Matt and Jim, in terms of coaching, they're born to coach, and they're great basketball minds, and they're motivators, and they're energizers, and they really cared about kids, and we were fortunate beneficiaries of having them here so very many years, and without doubt, the foundation of our program is clearly structured upon what they did here for us.
And speaking about them and other close friends in the coaching industry that you've spent significant time with, is it hard to coach against them, and what is your mindset going into the game against a colleague?
Well, it was very difficult coaching against Matt when Matt was at Elon, and we avoided at all costs coaching against Jim, and then one year we were stuck for a game, and Jim was stuck for a game, and we just agreed to play it, and you see we lost one, and they won one, and with Matt, you know, that one year in the Southern Conference when we were in the Charlotte Coliseum for the old Charlotte Coliseum for the Southern Conference tournament, then Matt defeated us in that first game, and it's a difficult situation because you want to be happy for Matt, you want to be happy for Jim whenever they have a victory, but certainly not when they're having that victory against you.
Yeah, part of the beauty of sports, Coach, and maybe more for from a fan perspective a lot of the time, each of these years takes on its own identity, its ups and downs. You've seen quite a few on both sides in 31 years, and including the way this year has played out. Can you describe the joy and the stress that comes along each season?
You know, I think it's getting to a point that there's so much social media and so much attention to every bounce and every shot and every rebound and every nuance that occurs during a game that it magnifies it even more. And, of course, being in the Atlantic 10, we're on a much bigger national stage, so it's magnified even more. What has happened for us this year is just a reflection of our society. It's a reflection of college basketball. Just think about how North Carolina is right now. Just think about Duke losing the other night to NC State by 22. The volatility, because of, I think, social media is a part of it, and also because of the generational shift in terms of the mentality and emotion of kids today, has caused this. And in the basketball world, we see it all the time, but just look at the volatility in our country. Just look at the opinions that are expressed in our country on a day-by-day basis, 24 hours a day, 6-7 different networks. You're finding out that there's such a wide variety of opinions, attitudes, and of course those opinions and attitudes impact you. And if you're an 18, 19, 20-year-old basketball player and you're reading something about yourself, well, that could fracture your confidence, or it could really enhance your belief in what you're doing.
So out of curiosity, Coach, when you're watching other college games, sports, speeches, movies, etc., do you find yourself writing a note down, maybe emailing yourself a thought or a strategy that you could employ later?
Yeah, I carry a pad and a pen with me wherever I go, and I'm constantly jotting notes to myself. But you know, I think the greatest book in the world is the Bible, and the stories of thousands and thousands of years ago are still playing out today. And my movie love is kind of the old movies, The Godfather, Schindler's List, The Quiet Man. And it's remarkable how many themes play out in movies from years ago that are so valuable and vital today. Like the story about Vito Antuofermo that I shared about in terms of Bill Parcells telling that story, 10 years ago to the New York Football Giants.
Well, Coach, it's time to take a couple of fan questions. We'll take this one first. And was referencing Mike Jones and how he's coming along, and also the general health look at this team right now.
We got a great report yesterday from Dr. Weeks, Dr. Durham Weeks, our team physician, a team orthopedic doctor, and Mike Jones is progressing a lot faster than they had thought. He's actually going to be doing some shooting today, and we're very encouraged about Mike's toughness to respond to an injury and his quick recovery from it. He's still a ways away, but we're optimistic he'll be back at some point this season. And for those fans that saw the game against St. Bonaventure, you might remember it was an awkward fall that occurred in the first half, early in the first half, when he was fouled on a layup and he went out there. And the referee wanted to take him out of the game because he was in such pain. And Mike says, "No, Coach, I'm shooting him." And he shot and missed the first, and then he made the second and continued to play. And there was one point that you might remember where he took a three-pointer from up near the top of the key and completely airballed it. And you could see there was no strength in his left arm as he shot it. And it was at that point that we did take him out. But he played 5-6 more minutes after getting that that injury.
And Coach, his final question, it says, you speak of the will to win. How do you coach the enhancement of that trait?
Everyone wants to win. We're thrilled that our guys work to win. What we were missing on Tuesday at St. Joe's was the will to win. And I think the will to win is something that's you got to repeat that message over and over and over. In practice, you simulate as many experiences as you can to put them in an adverse condition, adverse situation where they have to somehow overcome that adversity. You make them aware of it. And it's a constant theme that we have tried to develop with our guys. And it's something that has been elusive, I think, for a lot of schools, a lot of teams throughout the country. We're fortunate, at least, that our foundation is the work to win. We've got that. And one of our seven keys is finishing, whether it's finishing a shot, finishing a rebound, finishing the defense, but finishing your effort. And we say that whenever a guy gets an offensive rebound against us, it's giving them a lifeline. And you see, you play 25 seconds of great defense, shot goes up, and you miss a box out, and all of a sudden now they have a lifeline. Why work hard for 25 seconds? And we have a lot of sayings. One of them is pay me now or pay me later. If you don't have it right, the time to do it right the first time, when are you going to have time to do it right? And it plays itself out. And there's an interesting name we give to somebody who hits somebody on a box out but doesn't finish the box out. He thinks that just by making the box out, I've done my job. We call that guy a candlelight. One blow and you're out. And We had a few candlelights the other day against Rhode Island.
Well, that's going to take us into another quick break. When we come back, we'll look ahead at another big week coming up for the Wildcats. Next opponent tomorrow night against LaSalle as the Bob McKillop Show rolls on. Powered by Ortho Carolina from Learfield, IMG College. Welcome back to Davidson College. Jared Latch alongside head coach Bob McKillop. It's time to look ahead at the Wildcats' next opponent and the LaSalle Explorers. LaSalle currently sits at 500, 13-13, 4-10 in the A-10. They're coming off back-to-back wins, including on Saturday at George Washington. And, Coach, when you look at this team, the collective group of players, the key guys, all seem to average between 9 and 11 points.
Yeah, you know, they're averaging 10 guys, double-digit minutes, so they're playing 10 guys. They're playing a deep rotation. Nine different guys have started for them. Ash Howard, who was the head coach, was an assistant for many years with Jay Wright at Villanova, and he's taken many of the theories of Villanova, of interchangeable parts, attack and transition, shoot threes, change defenses, disrupt on defense. So we're going to see a team that's going to extend the court, going to play very aggressive in the half court, both man and zone. We're going to see a team that's going to really push the ball in transition and be very, very efficient in their primary opportunities. They're going to shoot the three, and they have a big guy by the name of Ed Croswell, who's one of the best rebounders in the country.
So, Coach, with all those variables, what will be your early keys to the Wildcats' success tomorrow night?
Well, you know, we showed clips of the Rhode Island game, and we have theories about offense. Move the spotlight. So we can't hold on to the ball. We can't we have to keep it moving, and we have to keep our bodies moving. So the offense has to be fluid and moving. And when you have great offense, that immediately leads to significantly better defense, and that'll be a pivotal part, having good offense to make sure our defense is good enough, because, number one, if you have good offense, you're going to put the ball in the hole, and they're going to have to take it through the net rather than take it off the glass. And defensive transition is so much more efficient when you're defending a team that's taking it through the net rather than taking it off the glass.
Well, Coach, that's going to wrap up things with you today. Thanks, as always, for your time this afternoon.
And thanks to a terrific crowd for being here. Just a delight to be have the support of this community and the college. And I thought Rhode Island was sensational in terms of our crowd support, and it really got us over the hump.
Well, thank you, Coach. We'll come back and wrap the show up. The Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. Welcome back to the Bob McKillop Show. We want to remind you that you can join us for our next game broadcast tomorrow night, February 25th, as the Wildcats host LaSalle here at Belk Arena. 7 o'clock tip with our broadcast beginning at 6:45. The Bob McKillop Show will continue to come your way next Monday through the conclusion of conference play. For Bob McKillop and our producer, Peyton Gallagher, I'm Jared Latch. Have a great rest of your day. Thanks for joining us, and so long for now. This has been the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina from Learfield, IMG College.
This has been the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. The Bob McKillop Show has been brought to you by Bearings, Innovative Strategies and Solutions, Pepsi, born in the Carolinas. Atrium Health, make every day the best day yet. And by Ortho Carolina, you improved. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Davidson Sports Network.